On the Fly is on the air. And now, your host, Jaymont G.
And good afternoon. We are on the fly down at the Warbird area. It's a Wednesday, and it is midweek of AirVenture 2011, and unfortunately turned into a little bit of a rainy one this morning. Everyone woke up to cloudy skies, and rain moved through at about 7 a.m., and it's gotten clear right now, just a little bit of a break in the rain, and it may turn out to be a nice day here once this next little wave goes through. Gentlemen, it's always nice to come down here to Warbirds midweek. And joining us, we have Bill Fisher, who is the executive director of the Warbirds of America, and Rick Siegfried, who is a director of Warbirds of America as well, and Bill Harrison, also a director of Warbirds of America. You guys have a lot of directors running around. Anyway, let's start with you, Bill Fisher. Tell us a little bit about how the year's going.
Well, the convention this year got off to a fantastic start. The weather Monday and Tuesday was perfect. We had huge crowds in the Warbird area. In fact, yesterday we had a book signing with Bob Hoover, and the line to get autographs from Bob wrapped all the way around the store. And it was just a fantastic day. People are excited about the Warbirds. We've got a great variety of aircraft, and just a great way to kick off the convention.
Excellent. Tell us a little bit about what you've got planned this week with the Warbirds, as far as the show goes, etc.
All right. We're already midweek, so today is Wednesday. It's dedicated to be Navy Day. And we have all kinds of really unique airplanes on Scott's Warbird Alley. That's our main aircraft display area. We're highlighting the Navy aircraft. We've got a Curtiss Hell Diver, which is the only flying example in the world. So AirVenture attendees really need to get up here and take a look at the Hell Diver. It is an interesting aircraft. The crew is there to fill you in on all the details. We also have a Dauntless Dive Bomber from World War II. And some of the other famous Navy aircraft. We've got a Bearcat. Grumman Duck, amphibious aircraft. And that particular model was a Pearl Harbor survivor. So an interesting storyline behind it. We also have one of the earliest jet Navy trainers, the Temco Pinto. Really a unique style to that airplane, and people really enjoy seeing one of those first Navy trainers. We also have a Grumman Tiger Cat. So we have quite a few of the Grumman lineage here. Grumman Wildcat also, and of course all our stable trainers, T-28s, T-34s, amongst Navy M3Ns. So we have the whole gamut of naval aircraft here, and they're all flying examples, something that is unique to our event.
Now, I do see you do group the airplanes together as much as you can, right? You see a whole bunch of T-34s out here. What is the highest number of like airplane that's here this year?
Well, I'd have to say that would be the T-6s. The T-6 SNJ Harvards, they typically support AirVenture in big numbers, sometimes in the 50 to 60 range, and you know, it could be higher. I don't have a head count here with me right now, but as the week progresses, we'll have some really detailed reports on aircraft types, how many of each, and we always have, again, strong support from the T-6 community.
Tell us a little bit about the relationship of Warbirds of America and the EAA.
Well, Warbirds of America started off back in 1964 as more or less an independent organization out in California. And when their leader, Walt Ulrich, was called up to active duty in Vietnam, he reached out to Paul Poberesny and asked if Paul would be willing and able to take over the management of Warbirds of America under the wings of EAA. And Paul, being the aviation enthusiast supporter that he is, gladly took on the challenge. And since then, Warbirds of America has been a division of EAA and has grown and prospered and really represented this segment of aviation that our EAA members really enjoy and find very interesting.
Now, tell us a little bit about some of the safety programs you have. I know that Warbirds of America is a huge advocate in the safety arena and in dealing with FAA issues as well as aging aircraft issues, things like that. Tell us a little bit about the structure of your organization.
Okay, within our organization, we have a safety committee, which Rick is head of the safety committee. You can probably touch on that a little bit later. But within that committee, we develop a series of safety forums. During AirVenture, actually starting on Tuesday, we had a safety briefing for people that fly in the Oshkosh Air Show for the first time. It can be very intimidating. If people aren't on top of their game, it can be kind of a big challenge. So the first-timers briefing really sets the stage for a successful air show. The new guys come in, they get the briefing, they know the lay of the land, and then later on the day that they're ready to fly in the daily air show, they have another briefing that covers that day's activities. So that's kind of a two-layered system. We also have a series of safety forums that are broken down by the aircraft groups or types. We have a jet forum. We have another forum for the Yaks and CJs. We have a T-28 forum, a T-6 forum, T-34s, the Cessna O-2s, the liaison aircraft, bomber transports, and also a radial engine forum that covers all the details about operations, maintenance, piloting, and it really, again, sets the stage for a successful event. And then other times throughout the year, we're active in the National Warbird Operator Conference, where usually in the month of February, we bring together over 200 warbird owners, operators, maintenance personnel, museum staff that can get together at a location and concentrate on safety, pilot proficiency, and learn from each other. There's a lot to be said for one-on-one discussions where people have operating the same types of aircraft. They can share their issues and share ideas on how to keep the airplanes properly maintained, how to stay proficient, what's working for them, what may not be working. So it's a good exchange, and people come out of that, you know, refreshed, ready to go for the flying season.
So that's good. So how many times a year do you say you do that?
That's a once-a-year session in February. Okay. Again, the National Warbird Operator.
Is there any tie-in? There's a lot of warbird activity at Reno for the races in September. Is there any tie-in with Warbirds of America and that event as well?
Well, I'm happy to announce this year will be the inaugural year for EAA Warbirds of America to have a presence at the Reno Air Races. So we already know that many of our members are working in the pits. They're racing T6s. They're helping some of the folks in the unlimited races get those aircraft go and actually, you know, fly. Many of our members are actually racing pilots. So we'll have a presence there, and we encourage all of our members to come and visit us at the Reno Air Races. Stop by, say hello, and just share some of the camaraderie that is there at Reno.
Yeah, and you know, I go to Reno every year as well, and it is it seems like it's going to be a perfect match tie-in because there's so much warbird activity there. I mean, a lot of the people, like you said, a lot of the people that are here are also there, so it seems like a good tie-in.
Absolutely.
So, you said there is a hell diver. Is that what you said? A hell diver over
yeah,
there?
Yeah, Curtis SB2C, hell diver. It's again the only flying example in the world, and it's operated by the Commemorative Air Force. They've done a great job in keeping that aircraft ship shape, and the crew has been fantastic. Being able to talk to the people, to answer the questions. As they come up, there's a lot of interaction there. The folks can get photographs right up close with the aircraft. And again, we encourage people to stop by and learn all about it.
It sounds good. Well, it's coming up on break time. We're going to take a short break, Bill. Rick, and we'll be back in just a moment. We are down in Warbirds on a Wednesday afternoon. Jay Monchi on the fly.